Psalm 51 is from the Message. Generous in love, God give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I've violated. You've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow-white life. Tune me in to your foot-tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make me a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness on me. Bring me back from grey exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways, so the lost can be found, can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God, I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken walls. Then you'll get real worship from us. Acts of worship small and large, including all the bowls they can heave onto your altar.
In Luke chapter 18.
And it's verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.
Two men went up to the same church on the same day, at the same time, to meet with the same God in Jesus' parable. Two men, same church, same day, same time, same God. One went home just in the same state as he had arrived, but the other went home having really met with God, having his sins forgiven, and having wonderfully been changed. Two men. What was the difference? Jesus said it was, and this was a shock to the people listening, that it was the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who met with God. What was wrong with the Pharisee? Nothing. He was a very religious man. He wasn't an evildoer. He wasn't a swindler. These were true. He lived a very good, perfect, and upright life. He fasted twice a week. I wonder how many of us have ever taken up the challenge of fasting. It's a way of saying to God, I really mean business about this prayer. But he fasted twice a week, according to the law. He gave a tithe, that's a tenth, of his gross annual income to religious God's things. He prayed very often, his prayers. He kept the law of Moses and also what are called in the New Testament the traditions of the elders, the things which the scribes had added on to the law of Moses to say what they really meant. For instance, the law said you shall not work on the Sabbath. What did that mean? The traditions of the elders said you can only walk a certain distance, what the Bible calls the Sabbath day's journey. And if you walk more than that, you are breaking the commandment. And this Pharisee kept that commandment, kept all the commandments, all the law, all the traditions of the elders. He was a religious man, a very religious man, like all the rest of the Pharisees. But he did not meet with God. He went home as he arrived. His religion had done nothing for him at all. Now, the tax collector, he wasn't known as a religious man. In fact, tax collectors were not allowed in the synagogues. They were religious outcasts. He didn't know how properly to pray. He didn't fast twice a week. As for giving, he swindled people. He was working for the Romans, that's why the Jews hated tax collectors, and he took a good deal more than he should have done. He swindled his own people. No, but he went to the temple to pray, and he did not know anything like the Pharisee about how to pray. He felt so bad, he would not lift his eyes even up to heaven. Kept him bowed down. And he beat his breast. He felt in such agony. And he cried out aloud, Lord, have mercy on me. And the Greek says, the sinner. Yet he went home changed. Why? The Pharisee had religion to the uttermost point. The tax collector had reality about his life. And we have to see this as a lesson about whether we have religion or whether we have reality in our lives with God. Now, religion isn't a bad thing in itself. We're quite nice, quite cosy. Thus singing the hymns, feel okay. But to be a means of change, it has to be underpinned by reality. You see, when I was an Anglican, I used to be able to say the general confession. We have erred and strayed from our ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the desires and devices of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. We have not done those things we ought to have done. And there is no health in us, miserable sinners. Have mercy upon us, O God. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins and keep us in the ways of righteousness. I used to say that every Sunday. And I could say it easily and not at all feel a sinner. Say it power fast. And you see, that's one of the problems with what we would call, Jesus would call, and today I'm calling, a religion. We can go through it. Of course, free churches don't go through it like that. Just have hymn, prayer, hymn, Bible reading, hymn, sermon, not to last more than 20 minutes, hymn, go home.
No,
you see, one of the problems is that reality is sometimes turned into religion. Early Christianity was a tremendous movement of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole of the Roman Empire. And they met, often in secret, knowing that if they were discovered, or if they would not just bow to the emperor's statue as they passed, they would be covered with tar and set on fire alive to illuminate the emperor's gardens. And it spread right throughout the Roman Empire. The Emperor Julian ordered the greatest persecution of Christians in history, slaughtered them wherever he could find them. On his deathbed, this is recorded in history, Josephus, historian of Christians. Said Julian on his bed, said, "Thou hast conquered, thou pale Galilean." Christianity spread. Then something terrible happened. Constantine, the emperor, was converted, and he made Christianity the official religion of the whole of the Roman Empire. I tell you what he did. He got together with all his bishops and people, and he turned Christianity at that time from reality into religion. That's when all the big canticles, all what now the Roman Catholics worship, all what now the Anglicans do in St. Mary's in Stamford, all that came from Constantine. You go through it, not meet with God. I did, often. He turned reality into religion, and religion of itself won't save a soul. Methodists did it. John Wesley spread Christianity throughout the whole of England and into America, all over. A massive movement of the Holy Spirit amongst cockfighters, brawlers, gamblers, thieves. He said, "I've come to spread holiness throughout the land." Then he died. He said, "I live and die, member of the Church of England." And as soon as he was dead, what did they do? They ordained ordinary people like you and me to celebrate the sacraments all over. Methodism at that time turned from being reality into a religion. Still has some power, still does a lot of good. But Methodist churches, even around Stamford, are being changed and sold to be houses as fast as can be done. Religion. It's got to be underpinned by reality. The tax collector was real with God. He bared his heart. He was honest. He didn't know how to do religion. But he cried out. He wouldn't lift up his eyes. He beat his breast. That man desperately needed God. He desperately needed to meet with God. But he didn't know how to do it. And beat his breast. And that man was real with God. And if you want a prescription for change, which I've had to learn myself, it's the real me meets with the real God, and then there are real results in our life. Just give it, if you don't mind me just sharing a little bit about myself. I wasn't brought up in a religious home, so maybe I was spurred a bit, I don't know. But anyway, I was converted to Christianity when I was 19, and I got religion. I liked it, knew it was different, had it for some years. And then the minister said, "I want you to go to Cliff College in Derbyshire, Bible College." But I didn't know where Matthew's Gospel was in those days, and I hadn't been brought up to anything. Anyway, I went because on the brochure it showed men playing table tennis and tennis, and it was free, and I thought, well, this is a good way, rather than working at the Yorkshire Electricity Board, I'll go. So I went. What a carry-on. I was amongst men, because only men were allowed to go then, who I knew that I knew that I knew Jesus a great deal better than I did. And they talked about him, and they loved him, and they sang their choruses. They went on missions, and brought people to Christ. I wrote to my minister, "Dear Mr. Watts, fancy sending me to this place. I am very unhappy. They have gone over the top. I'm coming home." The end of term. End of term came. Service in Carver Parish Church. I went near the door, all packed to go home. I had a visiting preacher, and he preached about full surrender to God, being a living sacrifice for God, giving your entire being to God. I thought, I've never heard this before. He says, "You've never heard this before." I thought, "I've got to do something." He says, "You've got to do something." I thought, "I'll run through the door." He says, "Don't run through the door." I couldn't think a thing without he thought before me. "Run down here," he said. "Make your life a living sacrifice." I ran down that little church north at the altar rail, and amidst many tears, God got all the walls of Trevor Deering, and I got reality. Real reality. Peace that flooded my life for weeks was past the understanding. I knew I'd really met with God and acknowledged my need. Real with him. Went out as a vicar Bishop said, the only trouble I have when he's inducted me to be vicar of Silkstone is that Trevor Deering will work too hard. Kill himself. Watch him. So I stayed there. And I was a vicar and I was a vicar and I was a vicar. Visited the sick, took him a bunch of flowers and a card from the church, and all how do you do and so on. And did me think, I did everything. PCC me, nothing wrong. Then I met some ministers and vicars who talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I went to a Pentecostal church and I thought, whatever they've got, I haven't got. I may say I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't feel it, nothing happens. So I asked these elders to pray for me. Sat me on a seat, laid hands on me, went rings round me, shouted hallelujah, glory. I thought, I don't get an Anglican vicar every week. That's what's the matter here. And then I fasted and prayed, and it May the 10th, 1969. I was real with God. Filled me. Went to St. Paul's Hainault. 12 people in the congregation. Soon became 600. You know, healing ministry, things like this. I went up to a girl, 32, in a wheelchair, never walked in her life. I've never walked. Rise and walk. She went around the church. That wasn't because of me. That was because 600 people were solidly and earnestly at prayer that signs and wonders had happened in that church. So I've had to learn to be real with God about my needs. I've got reality. Met reality here as well, in this church here. Met it on a Thursday morning at the Bible study and in other places. Religion is no good in itself. And mercy is underpinned by reality. We come to church at the same time, on the same day, to meet with the same God. We brought our religion. The real me meets with the real God. Then there were real results. So this man went home justified rather than the other. Watch it. Make sure the religion of the free church is underpinned all the time by reality.